This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
After the 1 o'clock hour, we're rolling on this Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse. Very excited about this next guest. I have just loved seeing what's going on over at Colorado State. So many big changes. Obviously, we've talked about the Pac-12 a lot, all that stuff going along with it, but just enhancing things, you know, the game day experience, honoring the great Rams of yesteryear, all of that. Joining me now, Colorado State Director of Athletics, John Weber. And I think it's fair to say I can call John a friend of mine. John and I are friends. We're pretty close, John, wouldn't you say?
We're friends. Of course we are.
John, in all seriousness, man, you guys have just done a phenomenal job there, you know, enhancing this game experience. I got to witness a lot of that last year. And you aren't done. You got a bunch of new stuff coming up that we can expect as soon as tomorrow during Ag Day.
Yes, and I appreciate that, Brady. We have worked hard. This team is incredibly committed to creating a really great atmosphere for all of our fans when we show up and creating a home field advantage for our team. So that's what it's all about, is having a great time and making sure we get out of Canvas with as many W's as we possibly can.
Well, so far, so good. 10-3 at Canvas the past 2 years. I mean, it's right there. The proof is in the pudding. The experience is great, and you want people to show up, cheer, get crazy, but also stick around, too. And I've noticed that difference the last couple of years.
It has been a big difference, and we're starting with getting people to campus as early as we can as well. So we're opening up tailgate lots 2 hours early. We're debuting a new Rams live show, which is going to be live from right in front of the student tailgate area, prior to the game, and then we've got a lot going on in the stadium with. We're going to see some new graphics. We're going to see a new intro for the team, and afterwards, after we win on game days, we'll have a post game video recap and a little fireworks show as well. So we're going to have a lot to celebrate, and we're going to have a blast.
Wow, that sounds exciting! To fireworks show after the game. I mean, that's just the backdrop too of where Canvas is located. That's going to be beautiful.
It is going to be fantastic.
Yeah, so talk to me about this Ram live show too, John. Like, getting, obviously this is going to be a great way to get students involved, have some fun with that.
It is, and Ruby Kaser is a name that a lot of people will recognize. She was a volleyball player here for 4 years, and she went and played one more year at Beach down at Texas A&M Corpus Christi. But she's coming back, and she's got she's on the rise from a media career perspective, and we're going to create a really fun atmosphere prior to home football games. But that Rams Live thing is going to grow into a lot of content coverage for all of our teams throughout the year, and I'm really, really looking forward to working with Ruby and having her back a part of the team.
Yeah, she's excellent. We actually had the opportunity to interview her 2 years ago. She was awesome. John Weber joining us, Colorado State Director of Athletics. All right, John, when I first met you, my first impression is like, this is a businessman. This guy is not messing around. Obviously, what you did with the Green and Gold Guard Collective, that's how I got to know you. I didn't know you were so damn creative, my friend. I mean, I mean that in the most positive way, but to be a great athletic director, you have to have the business side of the brain, but you also have to be a little creative.
Yeah, you do have to be a little bit creative, and you got to find ways to generate revenue in ways that we've never had before, but you got to be creative in ways to have fun as well. This is about community engagement, fan support, fan excitement, just creating really fun atmospheres. And thankfully, I've got a great team full of really creative people to work with. It's a really, really powerful team.
Well, and one of those guys, obviously, Scott Sidwell. He's been all over the place. He's been there, done that. Being kind of teaming up with him, how much has that helped, in this process for you?
Yeah, it's a huge help. And, I've got a different background than Scott. Mine's in business, and Scott's background is in high level sport. And, having him teamed up together with me and other folks on the leadership team here, we all come from diverse backgrounds with experiences and we all work incredibly well together to put this together. But it's a powerful team when you put us all together. We've got a lot of really big plans for CSU.
And John, I love Ring of Honors, Ring of Fame, all that stuff, Hall of Fame. I love it because as a sports talk show host, I mean, we get to debate that. We get to talk about that. One of the things that you really have been focused on is honoring the past legends of Colorado State. And this weekend star studded. I mean, Sonny Lubick, Al Bubba Baker, Joey Porter, and then of course, Bradley Van Pelt. They're all going to be at the game this weekend, right?
They are all going to be
wow.
At the game, and creating this Ring of Honor, it's something that's important to me. It's important to all of us here at CSU that we work really hard to make sure that we remember the folks that have done great things for us, and that starts with letter winners while they're in school. It goes to Walk of Champions. It goes to Hall of Fame, and now adding in the Ring of Honor for those that have just absolutely been transcendent. And these four individuals certainly have done that for our football program and then their careers beyond CSU. So being able to honor them and forever have them enshrined on the side of the stadium, it's a special thing.
Yeah, it really is. And it brings them back too. Obviously, these guys go on, they play in the pros or even just whatever. They spread their wings, they go out. But being able to bring them back and just knowing that they're tied to this Ring of Honor, they're going to stay involved too. They're maybe some of them did, but this is just, to me, a genius way to make sure that your best players and coaches and representatives of Colorado State are always going to stay connected to the programs.
It is, and it's really special for them. Having had the privilege of being the person to call these individuals and let them know that this is what we were doing, I can assure you it means a lot to every single one of them. And they've got their families coming back, their kids, their grandkids in some cases. Every single one of those four people is bringing a huge cadre of folks with them, and it's going to be a really great celebration.
John, so will the ring around the stadium, is that kind of how this is going to look, and then the names just go up over time, and we have a big festive kind of a big celebration, once in a while?
Yep. So we'll continue to do this for quite some time, and it's that first tier, below the 200 level seats and above the 100 level seats there on the West Tower, that will add the names and numbers around the stadium.
I love it. I'm telling you, I'm a huge fan of that stuff because that's one of the things we like to talk about when we're watching games and go, oh, that guy's definitely a Ring of Famer, a Ring of Honorer too. I mean, that's one of the fun things that I think Rams fans are going to really enjoy about this, but also more importantly, honoring these guys. Colorado State Director of Athletics, John Weber, joining me. Obviously, John, I haven't talked to you in a bit, but a lot's happened. We know all about the Pac-12 transition, what that's going to look like. And we're starting to sprinkle in more details about the TV contracts. How exciting is it, just being involved in all of these big conversations as you guys, look to finish out the Mountain West strong, but then start a new era once you jump into the Pac-12?
Yeah, I've joked with some people that I feel like I'm living an ESPN 30 for 30 episode sometimes, but it's been great to be a part of that and an opportunity to come back into the Pac-12 here and really build. Honestly, we got to build that conference from scratch. It's a long and storied conference, but it's a different conference going forward, and there's a tremendous amount of work that we've got to do. All of the ADs, the staff there at the Pac-12, and we're all focused really hard on getting that together, and by July 1 of next year we'll be in the Pac-12. So there's there's a lot that we need to get done between now and then, and excited to be able to work on that with all of our member institutions.
John, that first time I met you, I think we were at Zvi Brewing, a great brewery in Fort Collins, big-time Rams supporters. When I sat down and talked with you, in your mind, did you ever think, yeah, I would eventually like to get into being an athletic director in some fashion? Was that in your mind?
Absolutely not, no. I'm blessed to have the opportunity and honored to have the opportunity to do this, but that was far from any even remote thought that I had at the time. Honored to be able to serve CSU, an institution that I graduated from, and it's a community and a school that I care deeply about.
Yeah, well, I mean, every step of the way, big things have happened. You know, you just talked about the Pac-12 and what that's looking like, but big hires too. Ali Faroukhmanesh, I could not be more excited about him and the basketball side of things. But the programs in general, John, they're rocking. I mean, your soccer team off to the best start in program history. That's fantastic.
Not too shabby. No, Coach Kagan has done a great job of building that program, and the sky's the limit for that group, I'll tell you. We've got a great state to recruit from here in the state of Colorado for that program, and she's done a really, really strong job of putting that roster together. And, you know, you're right, Coach Ali has gotten off to a start with a bang, and I couldn't be more proud of the way that he, you know, built his roster and the way that he's pulling that team together. I think we've got a whole lot of winning in front of us with him at the helm as well.
Man, big day tomorrow too. We got the Northern Colorado Bears heading to town to Fort Collins and Ag Day. And John, I know this is controversial. I'm going to bring up a controversial point. I love the pumpkin orange and alfalfa green. I am one of the rare Rams dudes that's like, hey, I wouldn't mind seeing that be, you know, more often, but I know that's a controversial topic, John. I won't put you on the spot.
Yeah, we won't talk about that. But that is a sharp looking. That's a sharp looking.
Oh man,
we're going to wear on Saturday. There's no doubt.
No, it is sharp, and the pictures. I mean, they just pop. I'm looking at some of the pictures online right now, and it's fantastic. And Ag Day, obviously, it's great for Colorado State, but it means a lot to the surrounding area too. With this part of Colorado being so rich when it comes to agriculture.
It is, and it celebrates our roots as an institution as well, starting off as Colorado Agricultural College, moving through Colorado A&M, and being the Aggies and competing under that name once a year again. Each year, it's a special way to honor our past, and it's, you know, so much of our, about who we are at Colorado State has to do with our ag roots, and we continue to be, if not a U.S. leader, a world leader in agricultural sciences. So it's a strong part of who we are. It's a strong part of our identity, and it's a really, really fun way to celebrate it.
Yeah, I love it. John, appreciate you. I love when we can get an opportunity to catch up, get you on the program. You know this, though. I'm a huge fan of what you're doing. It's fun to follow. Just keep up the great work, my friend.
I appreciate it.
All right,
John. Go Rams.
Yeah, John Weber, Colorado State Director of Athletics. All right, 18 minutes after the hour. I mean it. I knew him when he got back in town, and he's doing the Green and Gold Guard stuff, and I loved that. I thought that was extremely creative, how they were getting in front of that with getting a collective. And now, obviously, we have no need for the collectives anymore, so that kind of dissolved into Colorado State. But John's been fantastic. 18 minutes after the hour. Football Friday rolls on, presented by Big City Roadhouse. We got the picks coming up. Catching up with my guy, Brian Howell. Will the Buffs have any issue with Delaware this weekend? All that and more coming up next.
Your college football, the NFL, and the Broncos on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-three minutes after the hour, it's Football Friday, presented by Big City Roadhouse. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, Brian Howell with Buff Zone, our Buffs insider. And Brian, interesting stuff throughout the week. I mean, we were talking a lot about timeouts or not using timeouts. We got potential, not necessarily quarterback change, but maybe a new quarterback in for a moment or two. We'll see. But Brian, it's always fascinating for you covering this Colorado Buffaloes team.
Yes, it is. I'm curious. Can I use one of those timeouts right now and like segment? There's two of them, right?
Well, yeah, two of them, but yeah, we just go out of bounds at some point, right? You don't need them, Brian.
Right. That's right. Who needs timeouts?
It was such a strange thing because anytime, Brian, I've been critical of Deion Sanders, it's usually just been about stuff he says that might be controversial or whatever. It's not really about the football portion. It's not really about how he's handling in-game stuff. But that was one of them where I was just flabbergasted at his approach to that and then how he handled it after it with the media.
Yeah, and especially kind of doubling down on Tuesday, you know, he kind of went through the whole scenario again. And, you know, he's kind of asking us, you know, kind of throwing it at us and, you know, I've seen some people criticize, well, the media, they threw it at you. You should have answered. But there's never a right way to answer that question and go back to coach, right? And so, but the reality is, yeah, they cost themselves some time. I don't believe that cost them the game. Their offense was not great throughout the night, and I'm not sure they would have gone down and scored a touchdown anyway. But you certainly limited your opportunity by not taking the timeout.
Well, yeah, and I do, like, I talked about this on the show earlier. You know, I'm not doing the press thing like you guys are doing on a regular basis, but I also know if he, especially that coach, puts you on the spot, and Brian, if you don't answer it the right way, you could get Sean Keelard, and you don't want that to happen, man. So I do understand, like, I was not one of those guys. It's like the media should be. I was more of like, you kind of have to play the game a little bit, right?
Yeah, definitely with him. I mean, there's absolutely a game you got to play, you know, and it's that's when people criticize and everything. It's like, yeah, you know, you come sit in those shoes and try to play that game and see how it works out for you. And so, yeah, we could have gone back and said, well, look, how about after this play? But he would have fired right back with something else, you know, and so he was not going to relent on that at all. And, yeah, you just hope that he learns from that. I mean, somebody gets in his ear because – there was certainly, you could have saved 12, 15 seconds at certain points.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. It's like if he's the way he handled it in his press conference, it's one thing if you're like, I made a mistake. You know, it's not going to happen again. Probably should have used it after first down or whatever. But when he was just kind of in denial, it's kind of like, what happens if that situation comes up again? Hopefully he doesn't follow the same thing that he's talking about right now.
Yeah, you know, because. Yeah, I mean, the fact is, in the Big 12, they could be in a lot of situations like that. I mean, there's a lot of teams that are really close, like CU and Georgia Tech are, and there could be a lot of situations like that. So that's where it's concerning, is that may pop up again. And so how are you going to handle it? And, that was not a great game one approach. I thought there was a lot of things last week that were like, yeah, this feels like game one.
Yeah, I mean, well, obviously, you know, Georgia Tech turning it over in the first quarter, and you're not able to take advantage of those. But that maybe down the road you are so many new faces on this team too. So, and I maintain it, Brian. I think Georgia Tech's a heck of a football team. I don't look at that and go, that's a disgusting loss by any stretch. And it, honestly, if you do take advantage of some of those turnovers, who knows? But that to me is a really good football team with Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to be a sleeper in the ACC, especially, you know, one of the talked about teams this year is North Carolina, which looks like they're going to be nothing this year. And so, you know, Georgia Tech is going to be one of those sleeper teams. And I came away from that game saying, yeah, that's disappointing because the Buffs had it. I mean, they had opportunities to win that game, but it's not like you go lose to Delaware, you know, or you lost to North Dakota State last year. This is one that you look at and say, yeah, that's disappointing, but there was enough positive out of that that I thought, okay, I still feel good about this team because they're going to get better.
What did you make of Caden Salter? Obviously, Coach Prime said we will see Juju Lewis at some point. I don't know if that's maybe we're probably going to be taking care of Delaware, so there's a good opportunity for him to come in. Or do you think that Caden Salter is his job is safe this season?
I think it should be safe, and I hope that their approach is expressing a lot of confidence in how Saturday is going to go, and believing that they're going to win this one going away and that Juju's going to have an opportunity to play. There shouldn't be a thought of replacing Caden Salter at this point. And, you know, I was telling people this week, I mean, look, you look back the last 2 years when Shedeur Sanders was the quarterback, there were plenty of games that looked like that offensively or even worse. You know, they've had clunker games on offense. So let's not just put this on Caden Salter. They've had games like this. And, yeah, there were some disappointing things. And I was a little bit surprised that, you know, he felt some nerves and things like that. But that's also human nature. And we're kind of used to having this quarterback in Shedeur Sanders the last couple of years who doesn't feel those things. You know, Caden Salter felt things that normal people feel. And I think he's going to get better and be just fine.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he made a lot of good moves inside the pocket to try to get out of there and manipulate the pocket, found guys, but maybe just a couple overthrows, underthrows. That could be, like you said, maybe nerves-related.
Yeah, I think he's got to learn, get a little more touch on the ball at times. And I thought some of his throws were like, okay, wow, maybe he was a little keyed up there. But I do think he's going to get better. And there was a lot that I liked in this game the other day and was like, okay, this is a pretty good quarterback here. And again, if you try to discount Shedeur Sanders, Caden Salter might be the best quarterback CU's had in a long time, you know, not counting Shedeur Sanders. So he's a pretty darn good quarterback, and I think they're going to be just fine.
So how do you think Julian Lewis is going to be used in this game? Maybe it is more of a, hey, we get up big, then he'll take over? Is it that kind of thing? Or will we sprinkle him in throughout the game when it's actually still kind of, you know, somewhat close in the first quarter or so?
I would guess they're going to sprinkle him in, but even though Coach Prime said, to heck with game flow, we're going to get him in there, I bet there's a little bit of thought there because, you know, if the offense comes out on Saturday and it's just humming with Caden Salter, you can't replace him. You know, in my opinion, if you come out, score a touchdown first drive, you can't go to Julian Lewis second drive. You want to keep it going. And so I could see them sprinkling him in early, and then if it gets out of hand, he gets the fourth quarter. That's what I would like to see.
On the running side of the ball last week, Brian, I mean, it was big for the Buffs. They had 146 yards rushing. I mean, last year, what did they average? Like 65, 66 yards per game. So I thought that was big, and probably a confidence booster going forward. Obviously, you got Caden Salter running around. You and I talked about that last week, figured he would do some of that, but coming up with 146 yards and a touchdown, a total touchdown, pretty big for the Buffs.
Yeah, it was really big, and I thought, you know, Salter was a big part of that, but I was really encouraged by the two running backs, Michael Welch and Simeon Price, who I didn't expect much out of Price. I mean, he's been in college for 4 or 5 years and only 300 yards rushing, but he looked really strong at times the other night and had some good runs, and Michael Welch had some really good runs. So I was mostly encouraged by those two guys and looking at that saying, okay, they actually do have a rushing attack here, and Dallin Hayden's not even healthy, and when he gets back, they legitimately have 3 or 4 guys that can run the ball.
Brian Howell joining us with Buff Zone. The Buffaloes are 24.5-point favorites in this one. Brian, do you think they have any issue with the Blue Hens? Do they cover that spread in your mind? Is this going to just be a major blowout by halftime?
Yeah, I think that it's not going to be a massive blowout. It's not going to be BYU over Portland State, you know, 69-0, but I think they're going to control this game. Delaware's got some good players. I mean, their quarterback, Nick Minicucci, is pretty good, and they got some good weapons around him. But I think CU wins this thing like 42-17, something like that.
Yeah, wouldn't be shocked. Brian, my man, always appreciate you and your insight. Talking to us every Friday, getting into a little Buffaloes action. So we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
You bet. Sounds good.
All right, man. Brian Howell of Buff Zone. Yeah, the Buffs are 24. Has that moved a little bit? Let me see here. It was 23.5. Now it's 24.5. So we'll see. Eastside Chris, I believe they are the Fighting Blue. Oh, because I didn't know who they were. Delaware Blue Hens going up against the Buffs this weekend. 33 minutes after the hour, Broncos Titans. We're back, baby. We got the NFL. We got a game tonight. Kansas City and Los Angeles Chargers in Brazil. Mike, what do you think about that?
You have to pay for it on YouTube.
Oh, you do? It's on YouTube? That's all it's on?
Yeah.
So we can't watch it?
You might be able to get it on Fubo or Fubo TV.
I think I have Fubo. Do I have Fubo? If my wife's listening, do we have Fubo? I don't know. That's
I think
dumb.
It's Fubo. I don't remember. I signed up for it last
Fubo.
Week, and I signed in
Fubo.
Last night, and I saw an ad for it, so I might be able to get it.
I think it's Fubo. I think you're right. All right, 34 minutes after the hour, let's talk about the Denver Broncos. Bo Nix, this offense. I mean, we're all so damn high on this defense, but you got to have this quarterback. This is the window. You're in this window. You're paying everybody else. You don't have to pay a quarterback yet. Got to take advantage of it. Let's take a quick break. Latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
It's Football Friday, presented by Big City Roadhouse. Glad you guys could be with us here. We also got the... we're not done, man. We're going to keep rolling. We got the Rocky Mountain College kickoff show coming up at 2 o'clock. I'm staying here in the Aloe Fiber Studios. We're bringing in Tanner Schwint. We're bringing in the dude down the hall. And we're bringing in Mike Danson with himself. Looking forward to that. Michael... Who, as far as a concern about this game with Tennessee, and I know you're Mr. Bronco and you're weird about it and stuff, but if somehow you're not able to beat Tennessee, you know we're talking panic button stuff. Because Tennessee was the worst team in the league last year. I like Cam Ward, but I don't think it's not a guarantee that that's going to work right off the bat. Tennessee probably, based on everything I've looked at, man, this is a bad roster. They might have the number one pick overall next year, too.
I think really the only thing you need to worry about in this game is, are the cheerleaders going to stay healthy and is traffic going to be bad? This is going to be a great game for the Broncos.
Okay. Weird take by you. So, like, be a sports human, not just whatever funny thing is in your you think is funny is in your brain. You're not concerned that this offense... the starting offense kind of looked like it did in the preseason. It's like Wyoming beating Akron. You can only beat the teams in front of you. The only sample size we've seen of the Broncos this year is, you know, the starting offense was kind of rough. It wasn't great. Most of they were undefeated in the preseason, but most of that production didn't happen until you had the second or third string in.
But dude, you remember what Drew Locke did in the preseason, and then how good he was in the regular season. I mean, he took us all the way to the Super Bowl.
Drew Locke took us to the Super Bowl? You must have been watching something different.
I mean, yeah, don't you remember that?
He was good in the preseason. No, the last preseason he had was, it was a battle against Teddy Bridgewater, and it was like, it's the prettiest turd in the toilet here. Who's going to be the guy?
And they both had strengths in the preseason, but it's like, there's a difference between blowing out the Vikings in the very first preseason game and everyone getting excited and then going, well, now it's the regular season. Everybody's got their starters in. Everybody's playing the full playbook.
Well, and that's the big thing is most of the time you're just rolling guys out there. You're not throwing any wrinkles on defense. You're not throwing any, like, really elaborate blitz packages. Offensively, you're trying not to get hurt. I think the thing you look at with Bo is how does he do pre-snap? That would be what I want to see from him against Tennessee coming up. How does pre-snap look? Because that safety didn't he have the safety? It was their first game. Was it San Francisco?
Yeah.
And that was started because he failed to catch the blitz. That's hard to do, man. Peyton Manning was a king at it. He made it look easy, but that's hard to do. Unfortunately or fortunately, that's what it takes to be a top-tier quarterback. You can be not great at reading defenses and still be pretty damn good, but to be a top-tier quarterback, you've kind of got to have all of that, and that was that play where Bo misses the blitz. His eyes are forced to look to the left and take off instead of seeing Troy Franklin coming across the middle wide open. The play worked, but Bo failed to make that adjustment. That would be the big thing. Once the ball is snapped, you know, Bo's intangibles, like his legs, his throwing arm, all that stuff, his head, you know, everything in between the ears is good after the snap. But how does he handle things pre-snap?
Yeah, I think you're right. That's really the only thing to worry about. Offensively, I have a lot of confidence. If after this game, and it's not one of those, the Broncos can't run the ball because there are 11 men in the box. Like, if the Broncos can't run the ball and they're only, you know, have four or five guys every time in the box, then I think you have a problem. But I'm not too worried about that.
I'm not worried about Tennessee. I need to see a blowout, though. Not, I mean, like, a blowout in the NFL. You know, blowouts in the NFL are different than college. I would like to see a 17-point win.
Yes.
Something like that. Now, if they win by a touchdown, are we coming in on Monday? Like, oh, my gosh. It's the NFL. Bad teams. That's the reason why spreads. You don't see 30-point spreads like you do in college football. You see, typically, if you see a 10-point spread, that's crazy. Because even bad teams can stay in games and keep it within 10 at the end.
Yeah, this is what, 8.5?
Yeah, it's 8.5 right now.
This is you're supposed to blow out a team.
I'd like to,
if you're 8.5.
I'd like to see him win by 10. That would be nice. Eastside Chris says he still needs input tonight. Are you going to make a pick for tonight? Nah, picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that, and it's a local thing, and it is Friday. If I were a season ticket holder for either team, would be mad because you lose that game, that home game. Oh, between the Raiders and the, or between the Chargers and the Chiefs tonight.
Yeah, we lose that too.
Yeah, it does. It is unfortunate. But that's part of their whole expansion thing. It's in Brazil, right?
Yeah.
So what are you looking? You want input for the game tonight? I wouldn't be shocked if the Chargers win, which actually, the fact that the Chargers are better and the Broncos are better, whatever, Raiders might be better, is actually a good thing, because you don't want the Chiefs to just run through this division and it's so freaking easy every year, and you don't want to be four games behind them or whatever. So if I were making, this doesn't count as the picks though, but if I were making a pick for this game, if I were gambling on this stupid YouTube game, I'd take the Chargers to win. Chiefs are a 3.5-point favorite, but I would take the Chargers to win. What do you think?
I wouldn't bet against that.
Yeah. 6 o'clock on YouTube, apparently. 46 minutes after the hour. We got the picks coming up. And we've talked a little bit about, you know, what to expect from CU with Brian Howell. Interesting for UNC, you know, obviously it was going to be a tough game anyway, but now Peter Castelli's out, maybe for the season. Eric Gibson Jr. is going to make his start. Now, this guy, he's got a really interesting background. He played at Louisiana Tech. He attended high school in Norfolk, Virginia. He won a state championship in football, and it was the first time they did that in 80 years. He also played at LSU. He was on LSU's roster. It's another, if you think about it, it's a big transfer. He was there from 2021 to 22. He's son of Charity Gibson. She's a former Grambling State softball player. And then Eric Gibson Sr. also played at Louisiana Tech. So I'm excited to see what this guy has, man. You know, it still is pretty raw. It still really sucks that Castelli is out, but this is an opportunity for us to see what Gibson's all about, and maybe they keep it close in the first quarter. Maybe, but we'll find out. We got picks coming up next. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. Guess what? Guess what, Mike?
That's what.
It's Friday. We'll be right back.
City Roadhouse presents Football Friday on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets Podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Ah.
All right, it's the time of the week where we get to the picks. Last week, 3-2. Not great, but over 500. We'll take it. But we went back to the lab, went back to the drawing board here, and we're looking for a perfect week, Mike. We're adding the Broncos to the mix, but we're taking the Falcons out because they're off this week, and also UNC plays at Colorado State, so that's just one game. So I got them for you. Here we go. Where do you want to go first, Mike?
With America's team, the Broncos.
Really? You do the build-up. The build-up should be America's team. That should be the last one we do.
You're right.
Okay, so Wyoming? I'm going to go there first. Wyoming and Northern Iowa. I'll leave for Oak Manesh's old stomping grounds. Is where he became famous. Kurt Warner played there. Nick Nurse, head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers, played there. I don't have a line on this game. But I'm going to take the easy way out. Wyoming Cowboys get the win. They go 2-0. Start the season. How about that? Northern Colorado at Colorado State. How about that? No line on that game as well. I do have a... Now, this doesn't count, but I am taking Colorado State to win. I have a score prediction. Would you like to hear the score prediction?
Absolutely.
31-10. 31-10. Colorado State. You still feel pretty good, but you would have liked to win by more. Delaware at Colorado. I got in early on this. So I know it's at 24.5 on ESPN, but I got it. It's at 23.5. I am taking the Colorado Buffaloes to wipe the floor with Delaware this weekend. And we will see Juju Lewis probably play the entire fourth quarter because it's going to be one of those. Finally, the Tennessee Titans at the Broncos. It's -8.5. I hate that. Here's why I hate that, Mike. Because let's say the Broncos are up 14. And it's late fourth quarter and there's a minute left. Tennessee has nothing to play for, but they got the ball. Game's over. They're going to keep airing it out because they want Cam Ward to have reps. So do I like Tennessee to actually cover +8.5 against the Broncos? No, I don't. I think the Broncos are going to take care of Tennessee. They're going to cover 8.5 points.
Well, I want them to keep airing it out because I want Benito to continue to have sacks.
They might pull him in the fourth quarter. Because this game is going to get out of hand.
Yeah, and also they don't want to give him that store in Lakewood.
So I like Wyoming winning. I like the Rams winning. I like Colorado winning big. And I like the Broncos covering the 8.5-point spread. Let's go 4-0 this week. We'll be 7-2 on Monday. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.